Fitton, Judicial Watch uncovers more classified emails in Hillary Clinton's unsecure email system. By Tom Fitton on March 26, 2019. Hillary Clinton repeatedly stated that the 55,000 pages of documents she turned over to the State Department in December 2014 included all of her work-related emails. She even declared under penalty of perjury in 2015 that she had directed that all my emails on ClintonEmail.com in my custody that were or potentially federal records be provided to the Department of State. And on information and belief, this has been done. It wasn't, of course. 2 years later, in 2017, the FBI uncovered 72,000 pages of documents Clinton attempted to delete or did not otherwise disclose. Until the court intervened, the State Department had been slow-walking the release of those documents at a rate that would have required that we and the American people wait until at least 2020 to see it all. Judicial Watch has now received 756 pages of newly uncovered emails that were among the materials Clinton tried to delete or destroy, several of which were classified and were transmitted over her unsecure, non-state.gov email system. The production of documents in this case is now concluded, with the FBI being only able to recover or find approximately 5,000 of the 33,000 government emails Hillary Clinton took and tried to destroy. Judicial Watch obtained these emails in response to our Freedom of Information Act, FOIA, lawsuit they filed on May 6, 2015. After the State Department failed to respond to our March 4, 2015, FOIA request, Judicial Watch v. U.S. Department of State, No. 1:15CV00687, seeking all emails sent and received by former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton in her official capacity as Secretary of State, as well as all emails by other State Department employees to Secretary Clinton regarding her non-state.gov email address. This final batch of emails includes 5 new classified emails and communications with controversial figures Lanny Davis and Sidney Blumenthal. Here is some of what was revealed in these documents. On April 27, 2011, former British Prime Minister Tony Blair sent classified information discussing Palestinian issues to Clinton's personal unsecure email account. On May 19, 2011, Blair again sent classified information to Clinton's personal unsecure email account discussing a speech. Retired Army General Jack Keane sent Clinton classified information, apparently during early 2009. The subject line of the email is redacted, but the text appears to show a discussion on information about Iraq. In a September 2, 2010, email exchange marked classified, longtime Clinton confidant Lanny Davis tells Secretary Clinton that he could serve as a private channel for her to Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, saying he had a private and highly trusted communication line, unofficial and personal, to PM Netanyahu. Davis goes on to say, "And no one on the planet, other than your wonderful husband, can get this done as well as you." Secretary Clinton responds with classified information, saying, "I will reach out to you directly and hope you will continue to do the same W me. The most important issue now is, redacted B1. In a September 18, 2010, email, Davis emails Clinton to tell her that as soon as I wrote last email, I reverted to my old role as your crisis manager and worrier about you. Read the word optics I suddenly felt, oops. I am registered under FARA for one or more foreign governments or businesses. I don't think it would look right. I want to avoid any even slight chance of misperception." Clinton replies, "THX for looking out for me, my friend. I'll tell Cheryl to stand down." Davis replied, "100% off the record." An email with the subject line Clinton Ivanishvili meeting shows a meeting with pro-Putin, Georgian billionaire Bidzina Ivanishvili, who was reportedly involved in a Russia-rigged election for president of the Republic of Georgia. On May 29, 2012, longtime Clinton political operative Craig T. Smith emailed Cheryl Mills, asking if a meeting between Secretary Clinton and Georgian billionaire Bidzina Ivanishvili was happening, saying, "Would be a good thing if it can work out." Mills tells Smith she'll revert and forwards the email to Jake Sullivan, Huma Abedin, and Lona Valmoro, asking them if they were setting up the meeting, noting that it involved meeting with the opposition and asking what she could tell Smith. Valmoro responds that the meeting with Ivanishvili was on the schedule. An undated email from former Deputy Secretary of State Strobe Talbott to Clinton discusses that VP Joe Biden was thinking seriously about a Biden-Putin commission. The documents reveal that Clinton had been assigned an official government email address with which she could have conducted government business, clinton@state.gov. She also reportedly had additional government addresses at her disposal, smsgs@state.gov and sshrc@state.gov, neither of which were configured to send or receive emails. Tamara, this is my new address, but, PLS no. I cannot check it during the day unless I leave my office. I hope to have a secure computer set up soon to be able to get email during the workday. Much love, H. On October 29, 2009, a Clinton Foundation employee and close Clinton advisor, Sid Blumenthal, forwarded a proposal for a commercial contract related to improvised explosive devices, IEDs, from retired CIA officer-turned-contractor Gary Burnson to Clinton, copying Cheryl Mills, saying that Burnson had been unable to break through the bureaucracy with it. Mills then forwarded the email to Jake Sullivan. Blumenthal noted that Cody, Shearer, and I are following up. Blumenthal and Shearer were both implicated in the creation of the Obama administration's anti-Trump-Russia collusion counterintelligence operation by providing reports relating to Trump-Russia collusion to the U.S. government. On January 29, 2009, Blumenthal emailed Secretary Clinton a memo he titled Good Cop, Bad Cop, in which Blumenthal informs Clinton that his sources tell him that an attack on the appointment by Obama of former Senator George Mitchell as special envoy to the Middle East was coordinated by Jewish institutional leaders and carefully scripted. Also cited is Mitchell's Arab descent as making him politically vulnerable. Blumenthal told Clinton that any conversation she had with Netanyahu flows directly and instantly back to top, U.S., Jewish leadership. Further on in his memo, Blumenthal says that Netanyahu and Jewish leadership should be expected to use political means, including outsourcing personal attacks to counter Obama administration moves, and said Netanyahu was deeply connected to political networks in the U.S., media, Jewish groups, Republican leaders, and right-wing Christian organizations. To provide a heat shield from Netanyahu's attacks, Blumenthal advises Clinton that Obama should hire a bad cop who is organically tied to the president and a political appointee, Jewish, considered a true friend of Israel. Clinton responded by saying, "Thanks for these. And I will call you in the next few days." An October 20, 2012, email exchange between top State Department and Clinton Foundation officials discussed arrangements for Bill and Hillary's trip to Haiti. That trip focused on the opening of the Caracol Industrial Park, funded by a $300 million-plus grant from USAID. The Caracol Park came to be seen as a hugely wasteful disaster that was supposed to create 65,000 jobs for Haitians, but as of January 2015 only produced 4,500. Maggie Williams, campaign manager of Clinton's failed 2008 presidential bid, forwarded to Clinton a note sent to her by then-managing partner of the Gallup organization, which said that Gallup polls suggest Obama's plan to expedite withdrawal from Iraq could help improve some residents' opinion, referring to Iraqis' opinion of U.S. leadership. Williams proposed to Secretary Clinton sending a group of high-level State Department officials to Gallup for a presentation, including Jack Lew, Jim Steinberg, Cheryl Mills, and Lisa Muscatine. Williams would later suggest adding Jake Sullivan and Anne-Marie Slaughter to the Gallup presentation. On February 18, 2009, the chairman of telecom company CenturyLink, Bill Owens, emailed Clinton, copying Abedin, asking if he could get a meeting with the secretary during her upcoming trip to China. Abedin responded, saying that she was talking to Owens' assistant to arrange for the two of you to visit for a few minutes during Clinton's trip. Owens had been appointed vice chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff in 1994 by President Bill Clinton. After retiring from the Navy in 1996, he became chairman of Defense Contractors, Inc. In a January 3, 2011 March 1, 2011, email thread, Suzanne Helmsley, a staffer at the World Economic Forum, Davos, emailed leftist Christian writer activist Jim Wallis to inform him that former British Prime Minister Gordon Brown would not be invited to the upcoming Davos meeting, because our policy, and this makes Davos distinctive, is to only invite people who are still in power. She also noted that the theme of the upcoming Davos meeting would be shared norms for the new reality, noting that the discussions of values will be a major element in Davos, since norms are only sustainable if built on values. Wallace mentions his prior partnership with Bangladeshi banker Muhammad Yunus, who would be charged the next year with tax fraud and embezzling from the bank he'd founded, Grameen Bank. On five occasions, Clinton's secretary, Lauren Gillity, sent Clinton's sensitive daily itinerary to her on her unsecure email account. On January 29, 2009, State Department official Ashley received a Judicial Watch press release from Associated Press reporter Matt Lee about a lawsuit we filed on behalf of State Department official David Brodarmal challenging Clinton's appointment as Secretary of State. He forwarded the email on to several other state people, who in turn forwarded it on to state's legal office and official James Thessen. Thessen sent it along to Cheryl Mills, who sent it on to Secretary Clinton, assuring Clinton that the Department of Justice would defend her against Judicial Watch's lawsuit.